Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. A lot in that, wasn't there? And there's a lot in the Leviticus 11 where we had clean and unclean. And I think it's, you know, if you want to go back and read that again to make sure you know exactly what you're doing, that's fine. And also what we read in the Ketuvah HaShalakim scriptures, some of those scriptures have often been classed as saying they've added to it and said that Yeshua declared everything clean, which he didn't. And also a lot of people will try and tell you where Kepha was told to go and see Cornelius, that he could eat anything which was unclean, which is not true. And it explained it very clearly in the scripture, which I don't believe I've got to go there, is the fact that it was the Jew and the Gentile that they were referring to. It was the Goyashi. And Goy means nations. So other nations apart from the Hebrew nation. And it just allowed Shimon Kepha to go and speak to Cornelius, and a whole household of Goyashi was saved. And we've got to look at it in its true context and not follow the doctrines of man. But that's not what I'm speaking about. That's just what I wanted to cover as far as the... I've got to find my message. I want to speak to you today out of Leviticus, but out of Leviticus chapter 9. And we read the scriptures for atonement in that, but I believe that we, through Yeshua HaMashiach, have received atonement victory over our enemies. Now we get persecuted. We get persecuted in our workplace. We get persecuted for our belief, especially by our families. We get persecuted for so many reasons. And lies are told about us that are not true, because they want to believe that narrative because they don't want to believe yours. And they can't cope with your beliefs. So let us pray for Yehovah's word. Abba Father, I thank you for the word that you've given me today. I just pray that I will be able to give it succinctly and people will understand where I'm coming from. And I ask, Abba Father, that anything that is not of you, that you will completely wipe out of their minds. But I just believe, Abba Father, that you have given me this for a reason today. And I just ask your blessing on it in Yeshua's name. Amen. If we can go, please, to Leviticus 9, 6 and 7. Moshe said, "This is what Yehovah has ordered you to do, so that the glory of Yehovah will appear to you." And Moshe told Aharon, "Approach the altar, offer your sin offering and burnt offering, and make atonement for yourselves and the people. Then present the offering of the people and make atonement for them, as Yehovah ordered." And further down in the chapter, in chapter 9, verses 22 to 24, Aharon raised his hands towards the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. Moshe and Aharon entered the tent of meeting, came out, and blessed the people. Then the glory of Yehovah appeared to all the people. Fire came forth from the presence of Yehovah, consuming the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. This was a miracle. This was a miracle that happened. Fire came from Yehovah and burnt the offering after the Kohen HaGadol went into the most holy place and offered sacrificial blood for atonement. Atonement was made once every year by the Kohen HaGadol, or the high priest, at Yom Kippur. It was also known as the Feast of Atonement. This was to indicate that Yah accepts the sacrifice as a supernatural cause of fire occurred and burned the sacrifice to ashes. So we know that Yah had his approval on it. That fire was preserved and never allowed to burn out. It was holy fire, Esh HaKadosh. They took the fire from the altar that Yah sent and lit the candlesticks with it in the holy place. They kept that fire burning, and they kept it right up until King Shlomo built the temple, and fire came from Yehovah once again into the temple that Shlomo built. The fire was considered to be like salt in the sacrifice that seasoned Yehovah. Can we go to slide 4, please? In Mark 9:49, it says, indeed, everyone is going to be salted with fire. After this was done in Vayikra chapter 9, Aharon's two sons ventured into the most holy place where they weren't supposed to be. That was only the Kohen HaGadol. Only Aharon could go in there. With fire, they went in there with fire that was not from the altar. And of course, Yah slew them with his fire. He killed them with his fire. In the next slide, please, in Leviticus, Vayikra chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. But Nadav and Avihu, the sons of Aharon, each took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire before Yehovah, something that he, Yehovah, had not ordered them to do. At this, fire came forth from the presence of Yehovah and consumed them, so that they died in the presence of Yehovah. That would be a mighty painful death. When we notice that it is unauthorized fire, they did it not according to Yehovah's words. And therefore, that was to be suffered by death. The altar is where the sacrifice was made. So not taking fire from the altar made it an unacceptable sacrifice. And that moved Yah to send fire into those that had done the sin. It's actually not considering that a sacrifice must be acceptable to Yah before we enter into the holy place. So we have to have our hearts right with Yah before we even come here. This is his holy place. We have to make sure that we are an offering of holy fire within us to come into his presence. Since the sacrifice was acceptable to Yehovah, it was Yehovah who sent the fire to burn it up. But if one took a fire from somewhere else, then that one did not realize the fire from a sacrifice was acceptable to Yehovah, since it's only due to the sacrifice that made it acceptable. And that you couldn't present unholy things to Yah because it's not acceptable to him. Taking fire from something other than the sacrifice Yah accepts is entering into the holiest place without the concept that sacrifice alone can get us there. And this to me is an illustration of the fact that we do not have to have the proper sacrifice for our sins, then the death that the sacrifice is supposed to take instead of us is not taken. We die as death is our penalty. After the death of Aharon's sons, we read information given to Moshe about how and when to enter the most holy place. Can we go to slide 6, please? In Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Yehovah spoke with Moshe after the death of Aharon's two sons. when they tried to sacrifice before Yehovah and died. And Yehovah said to Moshe, tell your brother Aharon not to come at just any time into the holy place beyond the curtain in front of the ark cover, which is on the ark, so that he will not die, because I appear in the cloud over the ark cover. They learned that this could only be done once a year, further down in the chapter, in verse 14. It says, he is to take some of the bull's blood and sprinkle it with his finger on the ark cover towards the east, and in front of the ark cover, he is to sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. And the blood that was put on the mercy seat, which is the lid of the ark cover, the ark of the covenant, when the Kohen went in, Israel's sins were then removed. They only were removed for a whole year by this bit of blood. But we have a better sacrifice. And of course we go to Messianic Jews, Hebrews 10, 1 and 2. For the Torah has in it a shadow of the good things to come, but not the actual manifestation of the originals. Therefore it, the Torah, can never, by means of the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, bring to the goal those who approach the holy place to offer them. Otherwise, wouldn't the offering of those sacrificed have ceased? For if the people for performing the service had been cleansed once and for all, they would no longer have sins on their conscience. This had to occur every year, just like we have Yom Kippur every year. But that was only like sweeping the sins under the carpet. They were still there. They weren't dealt with completely. So we're going to verses 12 and 14 to 14. But this one, Yeshua, after he had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of Yehovah, from then on to wait until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he, Yeshua, was brought to the goal for all times those who are being set apart for Yehovah and made holy. Yeshua was sacrificed once and not every year. His offering completes us. The work is finished. The blood that was taken from the sacrificial altar where the sacrifice died and brought into the most holy place under the mercy seat that stood at Yah's throne on the earth was all considered a substitutionary death to the offerer. You and I are considered the offerers when we consciously believe Yeshua's death was for the purpose of standing in our place and taking our death penalty for us. And a union of our lives with his life, Yeshua's, and Yeshua's death occurred when he died due to that offer of faith that we have. When Yeshua ascended into heaven as Kohen HaGadol, he presented not someone else's blood as proof the sacrifice was made, but his own blood. And that made him both Kohen HaGadol and sacrifice all in one individual. Nobody else could do that but Yeshua. Can we go to there before I am. This is the regulation from the Torah which Yehovah has commanded. Tell the people of Israel to bring a young red male cow or heifer without fault or defect and which has never borne a yoke. And down in verse 14, then how much more the blood of the Messiah who through the eternal Ruach or eternal spirit offered himself to Yehovah as a sacrifice without blemish will purify our consciences from works that lead to death so that we can serve the living Elohim. No one else's death could have done it except Yeshua's, because there was no other person and has been no other person on this earth that was without spot or blemish. In Ephesians 5:25 to 27 it says, As for husbands, love your wives, just as the Messiah loved the Messianic community, indeed gave himself up on its behalf, in order to set it apart for Yehovah, making it clean through immersion in the mikveh, so to speak, in order to present the Messianic community to himself as a bride to be proud of, without a spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but holy and without defect. And in Acts 22:16, so now what are you waiting for? Get up, immerse yourselves, and have your sins washed away as you call on his name. Washing away sins is not done by the water on your flesh in immersion. It's a substitute. But by the blood of Yeshua in your soul, in that immersion, is what washes it away. You see, being immersed through a head thing, oh, I've got to do it, and not a heart thing, then it has no meaning. But it must come from the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Immersion is specifically immersing us into the death or sacrifice of Yeshua. And this is why we experience a change from sinfulness to being without spot or blemish. Shaul says it washes sins away, but the actual water does not do the washing. It's our faith in Yehovah's sacrifice of Yeshua HaMashiach for our atonement from sin is what causes a washing. And we need to really get that into our minds, because our own minds can rob us of that washing away. Because HaSatan can come in and he can try and tell you that you're a sinner. He can tell you that you're not forgiven. He can tell you all sorts of things. But you have to stand on the word of Yah. He will try to attack you. You'll be attacked by different people just because of the way you describe scripture. Because everyone has a different doctrine. And our doctrine is different from most Christians. That's why I preferred to be classed as a Nazarene, not a Christian. Because our doctrine is different and most people can't accept it. Especially when it comes to eating unclean food. The number of times I have been attacked in my life, in the workplace, because I refuse to eat eel or some other smoked eel or some other unclean food that someone's put before me. And they said, but if you pray over it, it's okay. No, it's not. Praying over something's not going to make it clean. And so we are going to get attacked. We have to know where we are and who we are in Yeshua and in our immersion. And what our immersion really means. It's this washing of the water by the word, which means the water immersion experience is efficacious or effective only because of our faith in the word of what Yeshua's death does for us about our immersion into the death of Yeshua HaMashiach. Where that death counts as our own deaths. As soon as we obey the gospel and Torah, that immersion indicates that we are without spot or blemish and are presented to Yehovah as soon as we're immersed as glorious, spotless, sinless member of his messianic community. We come into union with the sacrifice of Yeshua, who was the only one without spot, and that is the way we can become without spot. The sacrifice had to be without physical spot or anything physically crippling or damaged on the animal, because all of these things represented sin. Even today you'll find them looking for a red heifer for a temple that's about going, they think is going to be built. But if that red heifer develops one white hair on any part of its body, it's no longer classed as being red and therefore has a spot or blemish. Yeshua could properly stand in the place of other sinners. He was accepted by Yah since he stood for each and every one of us. Each of us are considered to have died. And since we are considered by Yah to have died, that meant we paid the death penalty we owed due to our sins, and that also means that we're freed from sin. That doesn't mean that we don't sin. We do sin, but we repent. None of us are perfect. In Romans 6, verses 6 and 7. Next slide, please. We know that our old self was put to death on the execution stake with him, Yeshua, so that the entire body of our sinful propensities might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For someone who has died has been cleared from sin. You see, once we've had our immersion, we no longer have the same desire to sin like we did before that. Once we've accepted Yeshua, the desire to sin is not there. We don't sin purposefully. We can even sin by omission. And we have to ask forgiveness of that. We paid the death penalty for sin in a death penalty experience through Yeshua's death. That means we're free from sin. It is like we went to the electric chair and died, and therefore paid our penalty, and got up to walk and live again totally free from sin in this world as brand new creatures in Yah's eyes. And seeing we came into union with Yeshua when we died with him, and Yeshua went from the altar of sacrifice that was in the form of a stake to the throne of Yehovah in heaven, we are presently in heaven too. We have to see ourselves as sitting by him in the throne room. The model of the throne of Yehovah, the Ark of the Covenant, was a focal point for the entire atonement ritual. Ultimately, atonement came to a fulfillment when the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled on the ark. In Revelations 5, 6 to 10 shows that the Lamb of sacrifice who died and stood again in heaven above. If we could read that, please, in Revelation 5, 6 to 10. Then I saw standing there with the throne and the four living beings in the circle of the elders, a lamb that appeared to have been slaughtered. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the sevenfold spirit of Yehovah sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down in front of the Lamb. Each one held a harp and gold bowls filled with spice, pieces of incense, which are the prayers of Yehovah's people. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals, because you were slaughtered. At the cost of blood, you ransomed for Yehovah's persons from every tribe, language, people, and nation. You made them into a kingdom for Yehovah to rule, Kohanim to serve him, and they will rule over the earth. In this most actual holy place in heaven, the Lamb came to the throne of Yehovah when there was no one else worthy to do it. Just like the most holy place, the Kohen HaGadol could not enter the most holy place without blood. Yeshua couldn't have entered the most holy place with his Father without his blood. Yes, many people, Enoch and all those, have been translated into heaven without dying. But they can't be there in the same way as Yeshua is, because Yeshua had to die And it's his blood that allows us into the Holy of Holies, in the most holy place. Can we go to the next slide, please, in Messianic Jews 9 and verse 7. Not only the Kohen Agadol enters the inner one, and he goes in only once a year, but must always bring blood, which he offers both for himself and for the sins committed in ignorance by the people. Do you notice the sins that he goes in for? The ones committed in ignorance. That means they're not sins that have been done purposefully. They're not stealing, they're not adultery, they're not lying, they're not murder, they're not adultery, they're not all of those things that we read in part of our scriptures today. All of those are punishable according to Torah. The sins that he's entered into are the ones that we don't know about. Nothing we have done purposefully. And it's why I pray every night before I go to sleep. Yeah, please perfect my day. Please perfect my words. Please forgive me for something I have not done that I should have done. Please forgive me for not saying something when I maybe should have said something. I make sure that before I go to bed at night, that I'm right with Yah. It's, to me, very important.
Very important.
Because if we're not right with him, I would hate something to happen through the night and I'm not going to wake up in the morning. I know the first prayer I was ever taught as a child by my parents was, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." I don't want my soul to go before I wake if I haven't made sure I've repented before I've gone to sleep. It'd be nice to go on my sleep. It'd be wonderful. But I want to make sure I'm right with God before I do it. You see, it's how we stay close to him that's really important. Can we go to Messianic Jews, Hebrews 9 to 24, please? For the Messiah has entered a holiest place, which is not man-made and merely a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, in order to appear now on our behalf in the very presence of Yehovah. We can pray our prayers each night knowing that Yeshua is there, standing in the gap for us. And because Yah spoke from the ark, which was the throne of Yehovah on earth, and was the focal point of atonement, we are going to see messages that have to do with the kingdom of Yah that are spoken from similar pictures of Yehovah speaking in a holy place, from something similar to speaking from the ark. It's because of atonement that we are a kingdom of Kohanim. We are not kings and priests. Okay, that has been mistranslated in a lot of biblical editions. We are a kingdom of priests or a kingdom of Kohanim. The blood on the real throne of Yehovah in heaven, of which the Ark of the Covenant is a foreshadow, is the reason that we read in Revelation 1, 5 to 6. And from Yeshua the Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the earth's kings. To him, the one who loves us, who has freed us from our sins at the cost of his blood, has caused us to be a kingdom. That is, Kohanim for Yehovah, his father, to be the glory and the rulership. To him be the glory and the rulership forever and ever. We all say amen to that.
Amen.
This scripture says, Yehovah caused us to be a kingdom of Kohanim by the same blood that washed away our sins. Since sin caused Adam to lose his position of dominion as king, then washing our sins away fully restores us to the state of Adam's dominion, before the fall of man into sin. When Jehovah spoke from the throne model of the ark, it was from an atonement perspective. The throne coupled with atonement means something powerful. Why is a throne associated with atonement? That means the words Jehovah spoke to help Israel were allowed to be spoken, all because they were atoned to Jehovah or reconciled to Jehovah. Just as in the most holy place, Yah speaks to Moshe that he had entered holy ground. But instead of the ark, the burning bush was his original or first place of speech. That's when Yah spoke to Moshe for the first time. And since the burning bush was where Yah spoke of himself to start using Moshe and delivering Israel, through Moshe, we see the atonement idea. You see, Moshe was a sinner. He'd killed a man. He'd killed one of his own and then ran away. It wasn't until he came back and he saw this burning bush that he was reconciled with Yah when Yah spoke to him. Yah can only do something through us if we are one with him. If sin separated us from him, then he couldn't use us unless the sin was removed. Once sin is removed, we are vehicles for Jehovah's kingdom. And that's what Yah virtually told Moshe. He would deliver Israel personally by using Moshe. And the burning bush not only stood in the place of the atonement, Ark of the Covenant, where we see a picture of the throne of Jehovah on this earth. The branches of the burning bush show attached branches to a single unit and does not burn out. The emphasis of the bush was not burning out right when the time Jehovah spoke to Moshe, after Moshe had abandoned all hope of ever doing work for Jehovah, and tells us a message. Yah wants you to realize that your kingdom union to Yeshua, and to let him teach you how he can work with you through his power. You will not burn out because you have Yah's power. The burning bush did not burn out. The fire from the altar never burnt out. You won't burn out in what you are called to do for him if you have his power within you. What causes you to not be able to take it anymore is using your own power. And atonement is trying to teach us that we are in unity with Jehovah's power. But we have to just get a real revelation of that. We have to learn to stop using our power and burn out, and instead let his power flow through us where we go forth in the power of his might and not our own. Can we go to slide 16, please? In Ephesians 6:10. Finally, grow powerful in union with the Lord, in union with his mighty strength. Jehovah also spoke to Yehoshua on holy ground from something that shows us something else about the union to kingdom glory. Just as speaking from the ark throne shows a message about kingdom union to Yeshua, and the burning bush that doesn't burn out shows how we can be used by power, by Yah in his power and not burn out. Speaking from the picture of what Yehoshua saw, holy ground gives another clue to what kingdom union does for us. In Yehoshua 5, 13 and 15, this is my last scripture. One day when Yehoshua was there by Jericho, he raised his eyes and looked, and in front of him stood a man with his drawn sword in his hand. Yehoshua went over to him and asked him, "Are you on our side or you are on the side of the enemies?" "No," he replied, "but I am the commander of Jehovah's army. I have come just now." Yehoshua fell down with his face to the ground and worshipped him, then asked, "What does my Lord have to say to his servant?" The commander of Jehovah's army answered Yehoshua, "Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy." And Yehoshua did so. An angel, messenger of Jehovah, appears to Yehoshua. Just like the angel that appeared out of that burning bush appeared to Moshe, and they both said the exact same words. "Take your sandals off your feet. You are, the ground you are standing on is holy," or "you are standing on holy ground." This to me is what Yah is trying to show each and every one of us. We have victory over our enemies because as his warriors, we can fight no matter what because of his kingdom. We are a kingdom of Kohanim and we have the power. Jehovah is trying to show us that we are able to enter into the Holy of Holies, the Kadosh Kodashim, through the atonement of Yeshua's blood. We are Kohanim who have to act as warriors of his kingdom in this world. It is not easy and it will not get easier as Hasatan tries to have his way in this world. But we do know that we will have victory over our enemies only because of the atonement we have through the power of Yeshua's blood. It doesn't matter what we're going through. Yehovah will find a way for us to get out of it and to get through it. But we have to trust him and not allow Hasatan to have any way in our life. So that's what I wanted to speak to you about today. If anyone's got any questions, they can ask. If not, we'll go to the Yeshua Remembrance Service.